The Gold Bug, Part 1. Many years ago, I became friendly with a man called Mr. William Legrand. He had once been a very rich man, but he had had a series of misfortunes and was now quite poor. He was very embarrassed about this, and so he left New Orleans, where his family had always lived, and went to live on Sullivan's Island near Charleston in South Carolina. Sullivan's Island is about 5 kilometers long and only half a kilometer wide, and is not very far from the mainland. There is a sandy beach all round it. On the western part of the island is a fort and a few small houses. People from Charleston stay in these houses during the summer to get away from the heat and fever in the city. Almost the whole island, except for this western part, is covered with dense bushes, and there aren't any tall trees on it. On the eastern, more remote part of the island, Legrand had built himself a small hut, and he was living in this hut when I first met him. We immediately formed a friendship. Legrand was a solitary person and didn't really like people. But he was an interesting person, and I admired him. He was well-educated and very intelligent, but one moment he could be full of enthusiasm, and the next very melancholy. He passed his time fishing and collecting specimens of various insects. He had a very large collection of these insects. On his excursions to find insects, he was almost always accompanied by an old black man called Jupiter, who had once been a slave in Legrand's family, but had been given his freedom. Jupiter was very loyal and would do anything for Legrand, whom he considered his master. One extremely cold October afternoon, I went on one of my visits to Legrand. At the time, I was living in Charleston, which was about 15 kilometers from the island. The trip to the island wasn't easy, and so I had not seen Legrand for several weeks. I arrived at the hut just before sunset and knocked on the door as usual, but no one answered. Fortunately, I knew where the key was hidden, so I opened the door and went in. I was happy to find a nice big fire in the hut. I took off my coat, sat down in an armchair beside the fire, and waited for Legrand and Jupiter. Soon after dark, they both arrived and greeted me very warmly. Jupiter, smiling from ear to ear, started to prepare dinner. Legrand was full of enthusiasm, mainly because, with Jupiter's help, he had found a kind of beetle which he had never seen before. "You must give me your opinion of it tomorrow," he said. "Why not tonight?" I asked. "I didn't know that you were coming tonight," Legrand replied. "It's so long since I last saw you. How could I know that you would be here tonight? When I was coming home, I met Lieutenant Grant from the fort in the west of the island, and, very stupidly, I lent him the beetle, so it will be impossible for you to see it before tomorrow. Please stay here tonight, and I will send Jupiter to get it early in the morning. Believe me, it is really beautiful. It is about the size of a nut, and its color is brilliant gold. It's got 2 black spots on one side of its back, and a longer black spot on the other side of its back. And it's got antennae, too."
"That bug is solid gold, except for the wings," Jupiter interrupted. "I've never held such a heavy bug in my life."
"If you saw the colour of it, you would believe what Jupiter says," said Legrand. "You'll see it tomorrow. But in the meantime, I can make a drawing to give you an idea of its shape." Legrand sat down at a small table near the fire, on which there was a pen and ink, but no paper. He looked for some in a drawer in the table, but couldn't find any. Finally, he found a small piece of dirty paper in his pocket and drew on it with his pen. While he was doing this, I sat next to the fire because I was cold. When he had finished, I took the drawing and looked at it for several minutes. I was very perplexed. Then I went and sat at the table with Legrand. "This is a very strange beetle," I said. "I've never seen anything like it before. It looks like a skull to me."
"A skull?" repeated Legrand. "Well, perhaps it looks like that on paper. I can see that the two black spots look like eyes, and the longer one looks like a mouth, and it's oval in shape."
"Perhaps," I said, "but you're certainly not an artist, and I will just have to wait and see the bug itself to know what it looks like."
"I think I draw quite well," Legrand said.
He seemed a bit angry.
"I've had very good teachers."
"This is an excellent drawing of a skull," I continued. "But it's a very strange beetle." "Where are the antennae that you spoke about?"
"The antennae?" said Legrand, who now seemed even angrier. "I'm sure you must see the antennae. I drew them very distinctly."
"Well, maybe you did, but I can't see them," I said, and gave the paper back to him, perplexed by his anger. Legrand took the paper and was going to go and throw it into the fire, but he looked at it again, and something seemed to attract his attention. His face first became very red, and then very pale, and he sat and looked at the drawing for several minutes. Then he got up, and, taking a candle from the table, sat down on a big wooden coffer in the corner of the room, and again examined the paper, turning it in all directions. I was very surprised by his behaviour, but I didn't say anything. After some time, Legrand took his wallet from his pocket, put the paper into the wallet, and then put the wallet into his writing desk, which he locked. His enthusiasm had disappeared, and he became very quiet and pensive. I had intended to spend the night at the hut, as I had done several times before, but because of Legrand's behaviour, I decided to leave. Legrand didn't try to convince me to stay, but he shook my hand in a friendly manner when I left, so I didn't see the beetle.